All right, go ahead, talk. Say, you're listening to the Word Bros Podcast.
No.
Do it.
No.
Do it. Say, you're listening to the Word Bros Podcast. Do it. You're listening to the Word Bros Podcast. TheWordBros.com. Record on this computer. Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new episode of Word Bros. Hello, my name is Bob.
I'm Kevin.
And you're not eating hot stuff today. I'm glad. That's good.
I haven't eaten hot stuff in like 2 days. So
really?
Yeah. Like, I mean, that not because like, I mean, I like hot stuff, but I mean, I don't like, man, let me tell you what you will do to get a Kickstarter funded.
Yes.
I will drink ghost pepper hot sauce. That's apparently where my limits lie.
Well, we all got to go somewhere, right?
You know, I mean, you're going to go, some people will go far. I mean, they'll go further than that.
We all got to go where our talents lie, friend.
If somebody had a taser, I'd be like, stupid human tricks, tase me.
Oh, I wouldn't do that. I'd be afraid you'd have a heart attack and die. That would be my concern.
That I'd have a heart attack? I don't know. Yeah, it depends on how much they were tasing. Like, it's got to be $100 for tasers.
It sounds like a comic. Like, you have a heart attack and die from tasing yourself, from trying to fund your Kickstarter. I am forced to raise your son as my own.
And then stupid human tricks cause orphans to happen.
Your son then promises to avenge the death of his father.
On Kickstarter?
On like Kickstarter.
He's going to kickstart
an ass whipping for the man who killed you, who forced you to do it.
He becomes the Iron Fist.
Yeah. So, yeah, man, so we are in the teeth. We are in the middle of this monster of a project. Before we continue, thank you to Bleeding Cool. They have a nice little piece about us out right now. Thank you to geek.com. They have a nice little piece about us out right now. Thank you again to geek.com because they mentioned us last week in Kickstarters that you should back. Nerd Perfect Strangers also wrote something nice about us. We've been getting unbelievable amounts of goodwill from the comic book community.
We have, but goodwill does not pay the bills, my friend.
Well, I don't want this to turn into like, hey, you know, fuck you guys.
No, it's not that. I'm teasing. I know.
I'm kidding.
I'm teasing.
Yeah, but you know, but we've gotten an incredible amount of goodwill. I've been getting new Twitter followers and new Facebook friends like by the handful every day. So,
and I have to check them and I go, I don't know this person, and I have to go look. And I was actually
you do that too?
Yeah, I have to go check them out to make sure that I'm not like friending somebody who's an asshole
or just some crazy racist.
Yeah, like I don't want to be friends with anybody that's a crazy racist or mad Trump supporter or anything like that. That doesn't align up with my personal agenda, and we would not really be friends. So
yeah, I've been doing that too. I'm glad to hear you've been doing it. And like I have a line too. It's like, yeah, you know what, you're getting there. So you know what, I'm just gonna pretend like I didn't see this one.
Yeah, I'm like, I look at it and I go, I don't know. That rebel flag is kind of a questionable in your background. I am not saying yes. No, we can't be. I don't think we'd be friends. IRL, we would not be friends. So there's no point in this. You're just friending me because you saw Metal Shark Bro. Or you want me to like your Facebook page.
Yes. Or you want me to back your Kickstarter, which is cool.
Yeah, that's fine. I don't mind. But like, you could just ask.
Yeah.
You could just ask. You don't have to be, we don't have to be friends. You could be like, hey, you got $5 to throw at my Kickstarter?
Sure. Yeah, and I will gladly do that. Like,
yeah, me too.
You know?
Yeah, we're very, I mean, I back lots of Kickstarters.
I know.
So, I mean, it's not like I'm anti, if your stuff looks cool, I pretty much, if it's, I don't even have a genre specifically in mind. If your shit looks good, I'll back it. I'm like, yeah. Oh, this looks awesome. I'll back it.
Yeah. I think lots of people have a good attitude when it comes to Kickstarters. And I mean, people have a good attitude when it comes to Metal Shark, bro. I mean, we're 11 people away at the time of recording from 400 backers.
Which is a lot.
Yeah. We're at $14,000, man. That's
considering
insane.
We're nobody. Just think about that. We're nobody. And we've raised a decent amount of money. So I'm pretty proud of us, even if things go south.
Yes, I am. I am also proud of us in failure. So we're working on it. It's coming. We're doing our best. It's moving.
I mean, it's definitely much different than we thought it would be.
This is kind of how I thought it would go.
Is it?
Yeah, I didn't think we'd rocket past the final amount. I didn't think we would, you know, burst through the glass ceiling and, you know, I figured that we would slodge it out and we'd get close. And I mean, I think on the trajectory that we're on, we're slodging it out. We're getting close. I'm running out of things to tweet. I'm running out of things to Facebook post about this thing.
You're running out of razors because it's shaved like
no,
a week.
You know what? It's funny you should mention that. my wife and I were just hanging out in the bedroom before bed one night, and she's like, "You kind of have a beard." And I was like, "Huh?" And she's like, "You kind of have a beard."
You kind of do.
And I was like, "Do I?" And she was like, "Yeah, you kind of have like a beard." And I was like, "Okay." She's like, "I kind of like it." And I said, "All right." So I didn't shave.
Oh, I was going to say, you look like a less douchey, older James Franco.
That's cool. I'm going for that. I actually was going for more douchey James Franco. So I missed the mark a little bit.
You did miss it by a little bit. But
yeah, I don't know. I'm probably not going to keep it. It's not really much of a beard. I'm sitting.
It looks good.
I'm sitting in a lot of shadow right now. So I think the shadow enhances the beard. It's got some patches still.
Oh, yeah, it is a little patchy.
It's a little patchy, but believe it or not, it's not as patchy as it once was. But Stephanie was like, "Hey, you've got kind of a beard." And I was like, "All right, well, I'll keep it for a little while." I think she was just being nice to me because Kickstarter is, you know.
Is beating you up right now.
Well, whatever, man. I mean, I'm happy. And I want to get funded? Of course, because I want to make
it. Yes, we all do. The five of us do. There's five of us on the book, technically. All of us. I mean, Chaz has tweeted stuff. You've tweeted stuff. You know, Sean's tweeted our Facebook stuff I've seen. He doesn't tweet anymore, I don't think. I haven't seen him on Twitter in a long time. Walt. And we're all working hard to try and get this thing done.
At some point, though, it's like, this is like, where and how do you get it out there? Because, like, we've bought Facebook ads and we tried that, and we bought post boosts and we've tried that. And like, how do you get it out there? Like, how do you further spread your message? Like on when we bought Facebook ads, we also bought Instagram ads because they come together, and we got a lot of likes on Instagram. Like that one post that we put up on, because we actually have a Metal Shark Bro Instagram now. You can go to Instagram and search Metal Shark Bro and it's there, which is kind of cool. But the one post we put up that we sponsored, that we boosted, has like 600 likes, but I don't think any of those turned into purchases.
Backers. Yes.
Yes, yeah. If that makes sense. And that's,
I think email lists. I think that's where we need to start focusing. And it's weird to say that, but I mean, I think that that's because no one's going to give you their email if they don't really like your shit.
It's true.
So you just ask, and if they're like, nah, then they don't really want to follow what you're doing, and that's okay. And that's okay too. Like, no, the cool thing about, here's one thing I'll say about us as comic creators that I think is cool. And most comic creators that I see, if you're like, if they're like, "Oh, can I get your email?" And they're like, "Nah," they're like, "Okay, cool." It's not a big deal. But if you're like, "Yeah, like I'm interested in seeing more stuff you do," that's cool. Like, it's just that with me personally, I'm not going to sign the way I am. I'm not going to sign up for it. I don't need any more junk in my email box. It takes me long enough to get through what I already got.
Yo, can I get your email? Nah, son.
Nah, son.
Word.
Word.
All right. All right. But I mean, we're trying. We've gotten a lot of likes. We've gotten a lot of new followers. We've gotten a lot of retweets. We've gotten a lot of stuff. It's just, how do you convert those over? And like, are we at the end of our collective reach? Like, is this it? Like, have we expanded our audience to its maximum? I guess.
To be fair, like 400 people is a lot of people, and it's more than the fourth rule that we talked about, because I had read somewhere, and we talked about this at the beginning of the Kickstarter, that basically you can count on a fourth of like your Twitter followers to back your stuff, and then a fourth of that is the actual number. So that would have been, for the three of us, a maximum of like 200 and some odd people. So we've almost doubled that.
I have 2,356 followers.
So you do a fourth of that. I'm at 2,081 or something.
So it's like a fourth. It's like a fourth and then a fourth. So it's actually
yeah,
like
you fourth it twice. Yeah,
it's so like it's like an eighth.
Eighth, yeah. an eighth, basically.
It's yeah. an eighth of your Twitter followers.
See, because they say like the fourth is the eighth is what you can count on, and the fourth is what is potential. So
I don't know. I've read all kinds of things. I know that we're working at it. We're trying it. I'm just tired of tweeting about it.
I feel like we're bothering people, and I said that on
So did I. But I mean, how else are we gonna do it? Like, how else is this gonna happen? You know,
on Garrett's Facebook, because Garrett was his birthday, and I was like, hey, like thanks for tweeting out, messaging out about Metal Truck Bro, and he was like, hey man, I wanted this thing to get funded, and I was like, so do we, but like we feel like we're bugging people at this point.
Yeah.
I'll drink hot sauce. And they're like, yeah, we saw that.
Yeah. I'll swallow this revolver.
If you don't back right now, four bullets.
I swear to God, I'll kill myself.
I'll just poop out these bullets. It'll be awful.
So I don't know. I mean, we're just going to keep on.
It's a trial and error thing.
Yeah.
It's not like we do Kickstarters all the time. So
no.
just as a reminder, Bob and I did we do three books or two books without Kickstarter? We did Fredo without Kickstarter.
And we did Elvis without Kickstarter.
So two.
Even though we probably should have Kickstartered those as well, just for like smaller amounts. And I realized that the amount is rather ridiculous. And, you know, like I said, we've said in the past, like that's what we have to do. Like that's how, in order to get everybody paid and to make the book as long as it is, I mean, this is kind of what has to be done, you know, so.
Yeah, and we knew that going in that we might have to go back and divide it up or do whatever if it did work. But just as potential backers of the book who are listening to this, think about it this way. We wanted to give you the book in one shot.
Yeah.
Instead of having to make you try and pay twice for it, because business model-wise, it's smarter to make you pay twice for it. Because we could have asked for like $5,000 to $7,000 each time, or whatever it costs to make $8,000, something like that each time with less pages, and gotten the $8,000 and then overfunded and then done it twice. And we probably would have ended up with the number we're at. It just would have looked like less, you know, it probably didn't look like less than the $666 is just us playing.
Yeah. But is that the way to go though?
Is that the way to go to do it twice, you think?
Yeah, like, is that the way? Because then you're building your audience with your book, because then you have a group of people that have been satisfied by your Kickstarter and by your book, and then when you Kickstart again, you can count on some of those fans and then maybe new ones.
Yeah, maybe, but it does feel sort of very like marketing oriented instead of
that's what this business is though. I mean, I think we're in the middle of that now. Once we started buying Facebook ads and things like that, then yeah, dude, we're marketing. Like, we're marketers at this point.
I don't disagree with you. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying like it just feels more I don't want to say shady, because it's not shady. It's more
it's not like, shady at all.
It's more corporate than we are as people. So I think that's the reason why we went directly for the number, because we're less corporate type of dudes. And we're like, let's just see if we can get this and get it done in one shot, because it seems like the easiest route to go for everyone involved. But that doesn't mean it's the right route.
Is it though? Because like I'm looking at Skies of Fire right now, right?
Okay.
Like Skies of Fire, the smash hit, super successful Kickstarter book. They have run, what is, I want to see how long this book is. I mean, this book is beautiful. Pablo's drawn it. It looks fucking fantastic. Skies of Fire, numero uno.
For those that don't know, Pablo was Bob's first artist that he worked with on 41.
Yes, he was my first artist on 41. So their first Kickstarter funded with 859 backers, right?
Okay.
Hang on. Where did it go? I lost it. Their first Kickstarter funded with almost 1,000 backers, okay? They got, from the looks of it, 800% of their goal. Hang on. Come here. Let me look at this. Then their second Kickstarter was for the second issue of Skies of Fire, Skies of Fire number 2. And they had 908 backers.
Okay.
And then their third Kickstarter they did for book number 3, issue 3, had 1,192 backers. And so every time
you buy 100, 200 in succession. Yeah.
Yeah. And then you buy 1, 2, 3. And then he did another book, and then Skies of Fire 1 through 4. And so this is all four of them had 1,334 backers. And each time they're making money and their audience is growing. Now they're doing their actual book, like book numero uno, and they're at 332% funded with 19 days left. So they used Kickstarter for a first issue, had a pretty moderate goal, and then just kind of built on their audience with that. Like,
yeah, that's smart. I would say that's smart. I don't think that that's a bad business model.
Of course not, because I mean, every time they do a Kickstarter, they make, you know, 300% their goal.
Well, see, but our thing was, when we came to it, was we wanted to get another trade. So
yeah, but I mean, was that naivete of us because we don't have the audience that we were looking for? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes and no. I would say yes and no. I would say yes because we don't have the audience we're looking for, and no because what we were trying to do at the end was give you the full story. So
yeah,
it wasn't like a money motivated, let's get out of anything. Yeah, you know.
I definitely think, like, I think if this thing doesn't fund, I think we got to wait like what, 30 days, 60 days, we come back and then we just do a single issue, and then, or maybe do the double issue like we were talking about, and right, cut it to where we get it done and then go from there.
Right. And then we can do the one issue, the two issue, and then come back and try and do the trade.
And do two more, you know, and then do two more and just do like every time we kickstart, maybe do like once a year where we kickstart this thing for a decent number and just kind of keep going, you know, because that might be the way to build the audience, because the first time you get 400, then the next time you get 500 or, you know,
600, yeah,
90, you know what I'm saying? And it's growth every time. So I don't know. Who knows?
It's hard to determine. I think
it is.
I think for the time we did the right thing. So.
Oh no, I'm not dumb. I mean, I'm not saying we took a big shot, and I'm really proud of us that we actually, because you and I have talked about doing Kickstarters for our other books like Elvis Adventures and Full Moon Fredo, and then just never getting to it, and then just finding excuses not to do it. And we finally found an excuse and we did it really, really, really big. But like, this makes me want to go back and do like, fuck it, dude, let's do Full Moon Fredo number 2. Like, let's see if Angela wants to draw it and have a smaller goal of like $3,000 and do Full Moon Fredo issue 2.
Yeah.
And
I don't mind doing that one, because, you know, that's a fun book. We had fun doing that.
And then do Full Moon Fredo issue 3. And then, you know, and then we put the trade up and just to see what happens, and just to get a print number, you know?
Yeah, I think we could do that.
Because we're going to print, you know, and maybe we should have done that with Metal Shark Bro. Put 1 and 2 up there and then do 3 and 4 and then just do like a print run number for the trade and just go from there.
Yeah, I don't think that's a terrible idea.
There's so many questions about Kickstarter.
It's just like pitching. I mean, there's lots of ways to do it, but is there one right way, or there's several? It's just one of those things.
See, but the funny part about pitching is you only have to convince like maybe 3 or 4 editors. With Kickstarter, you have to convince 600 people, You know what I'm saying? But I guess that's the direct, you know, you're skipping the direct market and doing it the way you want to, which is kind of comic sales, you know? But I mean, I think we've done some pretty good stuff.
Yeah, I think we got a lot of really good press, like you mentioned earlier, and that was really nice to see people getting behind the book and and being into it. And I mean, I think her name is Isha. Is it Isha? I-S-H-A.
Yes.
Isha. At geek.com wrote up a really nice article. Jerry over at Nerdfix Strangers wrote up a great article. And Rich over at Bleeding Cool wrote up a really good thing on our, we've been very fortunate. Then we were featured on a Kickstarter where the guy called you Ben France.
Whatever.
On the end, I know you didn't care. I thought it was funny though. I did laugh.
Where did they, where did that happen at?
The For the Love of Indie.
Okay.
Is the name of the Kickstarter. And he said Ben France, and I cracked up. I was like, he said my name right, but then he said yours wrong. And I'm like, the name that he's likely to get wrong, he got right. The name that was easy to get right, he got wrong. And I just thought that was pretty funny because usually people mess my name up, not yours.
Yeah.
So I found that funny. And then and then Bleeding Cool messed up Walter's name and called him Walter.
Yeah, that was, I don't know how that happened, but I at least emailed Rich and I told him and he fixed it. So that was cool.
Oh, that was cool.
Yeah, that was, I wrote that. That was my first article that I've ever written that was published by a website.
Yay!
Yeah, so now I'm a comic book journalist. I can.
Are you?
Yeah, I'm a public comic book journalist, and I'm a public comic book writer. With that,
you might take Robert's job at Rogues Portal if you keep it up, because that man ain't trying to write no articles.
Well, he told me he was working on something, and it never happened. But whatevs, dude. I mean,
he always says he's doing that, and I'm, and he doesn't listen to the podcast, I don't think. So I'm going to tease him mercilessly. But he is always like, "Yeah, I've gotten more time to write articles." I'm like, "It's about time."
Yeah,
dude. And then he sent me laughing faces. He's like, always going in. I was like, I'm not really going in. I'm just telling the truth. There's a difference. I guess I'm breaking your balls, because if I can find time to write comics, you could find time to write an article. That's like a few pages.
Because I love you. That's why.
I mean, for a 29-year-old man, that's a tired dude.
Yeah, right. He doesn't even have kids.
He doesn't have anybody to keep up with. It's just him going to the gym. He'd be lifting mad houses and stuff. That's why, because that man's swole.
He is. He's real short, though. He's like a tree trunk.
He's like a weightlifting hobbit.
Yeah. Really is.
You got a swole hobbit. Like, the bar is this way.
So I guess like it's time to, I mean, we've got 10 days left on this thing. And I will say, like, we've discovered some pretty cool stuff, like Facebook Live. Using Facebook Live to try to move comics on a Kickstarter might not be the worst thing in the whole wide world. Hell, even if you just have like a fucking online store. Like, it might not be the worst way to go. Like, hey, I got some comics, some new books coming out of my online store. Why don't you check them out? You know, it's not the worst thing in the whole wide world. When we were doing them at first, we were getting some pledges. I think we only have a certain, again, I think it's just a matter of reach. You know, our reach is only but so far, you know?
I think it's a combination of reach, and the people who like it aren't necessarily backing it. They like it, but they don't want to throw anything at it. And as we've said before, even $5 helps. So if you're like, I like it, I don't have the money to buy the book right now, but I'll throw $5 at it to make sure it gets made, and then come back later and buy the book when I have more money, or whatever the case may be, that helps creators too. And I've given $5 pledges to things that I wanted to see get made that I might not necessarily want to read as a reader, just because their stuff looks good. I've thrown $5 at Kickstarters before. I've done no reward before too.
I'm the king of no rewards, and that's just because I, as someone who has done a Kickstarter, I know how much going to the post office sucks and putting all the shit together.
Well, sometimes I just want to read the book though, and it's selfish, so I go, oh, I want to read that though.
Yeah, I just figure I'll see you at a show and buy it from you or something.
I never think that.
Yeah, but we've gotten some cool support, man. It's been really fun. It's been really nice. We've made some cool friends and some nice people, and we've gotten some great work done. I mean, Christ almighty, dude, like Christian Dabari drawing Metal Shark, bro, is pretty amazing to see. Javier Martin Acaba, who did Blood Brothers, him and I have been chatting a little bit on Facebook. He's a really cool dude. It's just been neat, man, just finding people and chatting with them about the book, and it's just cool.
It's really nice. Although I will say that that's one really cool benefit of it, of what we've done with Metal Shark Bro, is like a lot of people who we would have never expected to give us pinups did. And
yeah,
half of the people we don't even know. And they just said, hey, yeah, I'd like to do this. I think we really only asked like four people to do them. And Josh Hood was one of them. Chris Dabari was one of them. Drew Moss was one. Paul Gorey was another. And I think Christopher Harris was another person that we asked. And then everybody else just did it because they wanted to or they liked it.
I didn't even know that we asked Christopher Harris.
I asked Christopher Harris at Heroes if he wanted to do one. And I was like, you know, I was like, I would love to pay you for it, but, you know, we got to make money on the Kickstarter. So if you can't do that, I understand. I just want to make sure that you knew, like, if I'm asking you to do something that, hey, like, I can't pay you for it because we got to make the money on the Kickstarter. And he's like, no, I totally get that, dude. Just like if I do something, if you guys don't mind writing something short for it or so, I was like, yeah, dude, like that's something we could do that we can do trades like that. That's fine. And he was like, yeah, that would be great. And I was like, sure. I was like, I know Bobby wouldn't mind that. So I don't mind it either. Yeah, so it's cool. That's just us writing four or five pages for you. Sure.
Yeah. That's the funny part about it. Like I'm a writer right now that hasn't really been writing all that much. Cause I just been promoting a Kickstarter, you know,
It feels like that for the last 20 days or so.
Yeah. You know,
it has felt like that because it feels like I go to work, I come home and I promote Kickstarter stuff or I drink hot sauce for pledges.
Well, that's all you.
Well, I mean, I'm not as glib as you. Oh, you could talk for 4 hours about nothing and I can't. So I go, I need a topic. So let's talk about something.
I need to drink hot sauce.
You just need a microphone.
Yeah.
I'm kind of wordy. Yeah. Like you, but you're good at it. So that's good. I'm more like, well, there's nobody talking to me and I'm not sure what to say. So I know I have this stupid human talent where I can drink insanely hot sauce or eat insanely. That's the thing about the chips that people were like, oh, those aren't that hot. I'm like, they're hot.
Why don't you shut your face?
They're hot in numbers.
Yeah.
I mean, I was like, I'm hoping for the whole point is to get you to pledge more because the more I eat and don't have water, the harder it gets to talk and the funnier this would be. But it's no one's ever getting there. Like the most we're doing is like seven. And I'm like,
why don't you shut your face? I don't see you doing it, sucker. Hey, <boy. laughs>
It's just, and we got lucky because we ran this a shark based promotion on Shark Week, and I think that helped some.
Well, that was just dumb luck, and I don't even know how much that helped. To be honest with you, I think people that see Metal Shark Bro go, oh, this is ridiculous. I think I'm in.
And I think that too, but
I mean, I don't even know how much the fucking do I like these shoes. I don't even know how much that shit even cares. I don't even know how much it counts. I mean, do I like these shoes? These shoes are cool, right?
They're all right. Yeah.
I like
these. They look like you.
I like these black ones.
Yeah, those look more like you.
I like to try to dope it up, try to fresh it up. I don't know. I need some new kicks.
Go with the black ones, huh?
I'm trying to find some new shoes. These are
go with the black ones.
$95 for 10 shoes. When did I become my dad? I'm like, that's ridiculous. I'm not spending $95 on shoes. Are you crazy?
I go to Journeys and then I look at what's on sale. See, that's why I got them light up shoes, son.
See, it's fun. You have light up shoes?
That's what you were calling my light up shoes, my Osiris shoes.
I went to, well, see, the funny part was we never go to the mall like with the kids and the family because it's just stupid. But we were walking around the mall the other day because we had to go to the Lego store because Sophie wanted to go to the Lego store. But I really just think it was a trick for her to go to Claire's because she's getting to that age or like she wants to go to Claire's and do dumb shit like that. So we went to Claire's and it was like the longest 25 minutes of my whole life. And if you thought that it was impossible to spend 25 minutes in Claire's, you've never been with like an overstimulated 7-year-old who has money in her pocket and she's just like, oh, everything in here is buy three, get one free. And I'm like, we're going to be here all fucking day. So like my son's bored, I'm bored, everybody's bored. Like Bobby and I are taking pictures of ourselves, and like Claire's has like this little cardboard cutout thing that you stick your head in, and it's like a unicorn and stuff. And we're just bored out of our faces. And like, we're both acting similar because he's 5 and I'm 40 and we're completely bored in Claire's. And yeah, so then I finally got out of Claire's and we're leaving the mall and we're walking through and I was like, oh, Journeys. And I stopped and I saw a pair of Fila's, like, you know, the old school Fila's, like the leather ones that have like that weird kind of like almost Nike swoosh on there, but it's not a swoosh. You know what I'm talking about? They're like red or white or blue. I saw these old school Fila's. It's like, oh, these are cool. And my daughter was like, Dad, you can't go in there. Those are kids' shoes.
And I went, you've already trained her like that.
I was like, I guess
I would go in there.
Like, I guess you're right. These are, she called them teenager shoes. These are teenager shoes. And I was like, oh, okay. And we left. So even my daughter knows, like, you're too old for that shit.
I wear teenager shoes, Sophie.
You're too old for that shit, motherfucker.
So, I mean, I'm gonna wear them. I don't care.
You're gonna bust them out. You're gonna bust out your moon boots.
I mean, I almost bought some pink Vans. I was real close to buying some pink Vans because I was like, those are fresh. I would wear those.
Yeah. So, I mean, if I found the right shoes, I would. My son bought it.
I'm a grown-ass man. I mean, I'm wearing pink Vans. Would you say your son what?
Last year, the kids both got the same pair of Vans. They were like space. They were tie-up, what do they call them? Low top Vans, and they were both space. They had space theme, like it was just like looking out into like space through a telescope, and they were so cool. But they don't make them for adults. Shit sucked. I was mad. I'd wear those things. They were dope, but whatever. That's what happens because you're an old stupid man.
I mean, I'd wear them pink. I wear them pink Vans. Like we got our Word Bros logo is pink. I have a pink tie. I'll rock them pink Vans.
Hell yeah, dude. Do it.
They're just expensive right now. I can't get them right this second. Yeah, when I looked at them, I was like, I can't spend $60 on shoes right this
second. Yeah, me neither.
I was like, I'll have to wait. If they're still around when I'm and they still have men's sizes when I'm done, then I'll do it. Because
we got some men sizes. You know what would be? I just thought of a really great idea, and I'm going to tell you when we stop recording, which might be in like the next like 5 minutes. So don't let me forget. But yeah, man. So here we are. We're live.
We're live, and we've done the Kickstarter thing, and we are here to tell you that we are bruised and battered, but we are not yet beaten.
We are never going to lose. We're never going to give up. Never.
We might, you might have to deal with us again.
Maybe.
Spamming you on Metal Shark Bro in 30 days.
Nah, man. I mean, like, you know, man, we had a good time. I, you know, if people are tired of it, they can just block us.
I'm sure some people have.
I would have.
You would have blocked me.
But I'm still trying
to get off my lawn with your Metal Shock, bro.
I'm still trying to keep it fresh every now and then by just sending out like random tweets about D&D or, you know, whatever the case may be. So whatever, man.
I mean, what happened to your rogue? Like, tell everybody what happened.
He got killed.
Why? What did you do?
My rogue got killed. We went into a room and there was four of us, and but there were two like. I forget what they were called. Like there were two giant demons and then something else. And I was getting kind of, I didn't have any saving throws left and I was getting kind of worked. And I was down to like 9 hit points. And in fourth edition, you have, I don't know how it is in fifth because I haven't died in fifth edition yet. But like if you go to 0, then you're unconscious. But if you go to half negative your hit point total, then you're just dead. So. Okay. My total was 120. My dead is minus 60. I was at 9. And this giant demon thing kind of cornered my rogue. And there's nothing worse than if you're a rogue getting cornered because you're a rogue and you have leather armor and you're not really meant to take direct hits from giant demons. So he did a double slam attack on me and hit me for like 75.
And that was it for you.
That was it. I was dead as fuck. We're also like level 19 characters because this game has been going on for like 6 years and I've just kind of hopped in the past 2. I think this is my second year playing with these dudes. So it happens from time to time. But yeah, I got worked. But now I'm gonna make a bard, so I'm really excited about
it. Oh, I thought you were gonna make a deal with Beezlebra and come back as like Metal Shark Bard.
Metal Shark Bard. I don't know, dude. That'd be cool. I wanted to do that, do a fifth edition or Pathfinder character as Metal Shark Bro. Just make we give you a mod character of him as a bard. That'd be so cute.
He's a barbarian.
A barbarian, dude.
Yes. He's a barbarian bard.
Metal Shark Bro, we're trying. Thank you so much to everybody that has contributed. It's been really great.
Yeah, we appreciate everyone who's contributed, you know, even $1, $5, we appreciate all of it.
And thank you to everybody that has shared the link or posted about the book. It's been
really drawn something for it. Yeah. Done extra work for us because we appreciate all of that and we weren't expecting any of it. Mm-mm. Thank you. But it was not expected and I don't think we'd ever expect that. So it's really nice of you and we really appreciate it. It warms the very cockles of our dark hearts.
Yes, it's very cool, man. So thank you very much. I believe we're going to get out of here. We've rambled on long enough.
We have.
So we will talk to you guys next week. Thank you for listening to Word Bros and, We'll see you on Kickstarter.
Later.
You're listening to the Word Bros Podcast, thewordbros.com.